Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Boy, to me, Kenny, it sounds like something that we all want. We all want preseason to be shortened.
Stinks to me.
The Jets were shortening. I'm sorry, that was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They've been shortening. You could tell, like the Rams, they've decided, hey, preseason means nothing to us. And the Browns
are going to play their starters. They made the Super Bowl. They didn't play their starters.
Yeah, and the Browns are going to be faced with this question this year because we expect to be good.
Well, I'm not playing Odell Beckham Jr. in the preseason.
At all. None of the games.
Absolutely not. Nope, not him, not Jarvis. I really don't need to see Baker that much in the preseason, if at all. I probably would rather just sit him. There's probably several players I'd rather just, hey, I got 90 guys on the roster until basically the bitter end. Go ahead and play those guys. I think this is set up. I'm sorry. I'm going to just take it over here for a second because it upsets me. Oh, by the way, that was Jim Kelly's 33rd annual charity golf tournament, which Jim Kelly's a sterling individual. And it's a shame that I'm going to have this take from Roger Goodell's comments here. I just think this is already the posturing for what's going to happen in the 2021 season, getting ready for the lockout or getting ready for the collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. This is posturing here because this was never a real conversation to him until now. Because he's getting ready for it, because they won an 18-game season. And the player's going to go, okay, guarantee the contracts or pay us more. And the owners, because he works for the owners, that's what a commissioner does, he don't want to do that. He knows the owners don't want to do that. And so this begins the argument. And he says there's easier way to evaluate things, and I say, I don't know if I believe that. You have a 53-man roster. What is an easier way to evaluate guys? Having them practice in shells, in T-shirts, in shorts, or actually have them playing against each other trying to fight for a job. What is going to give you a better chance to see guys in real game settings than what they've already done? If you're saying for the fans it's boring, got it, it is. If you're saying for the fans, I don't want to charge fans full price, got it, that's true. But if you're talking about player evaluation, they're playing against each other at full speed, trying to fight for jobs.
Now, could you eliminate those?
The second and third team guys.
Could you eliminate those and just do more scrimmages, more camp versus camp stuff?
Why? It's just going to be more camp fights. It's less chances to make money. Why do I want to do that?
Well, this is where...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, this is where the NFL, this is where I think this is going, is again, there's going to be eventually a call to go to 18 games.
Yeah, and that'll mean even more sloppy football than what we see already. Because you have to compensate for it somewhere. Before, it used to be a six-week, whatever it was, training camp. Doug Deacon tells the stories because guys didn't work. They had other jobs, so they couldn't really work out during the offseason. So they had to work you in the season. And you had six preseason games that you had to get ready for this stuff. So by the time week one came around, you were really floating. Now we play four preseason games. You can't hit. You can't hit the way you were. You can't run the guys down because you only have a 53-man roster. So you can't run them down to where it was before. You only have 46 that are eligible to play on a Sunday. So week one, usually some sloppy football. Week two, maybe a little bit better. Hopefully, if you're a good team, by week three, you're starting to come around. But even that's a question mark anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you say sloppy football, but yet, for whatever reason, I'm amazed at these...
Still watch.
Well, of course we'll all watch. Yeah. But for whatever reason, these college teams, and I know a lot of them play kind of a joke of a team in the first week, but... There are really good college football games, and there's no preseason to get them ready.
And I even disagree with that. Alabama usually just beats the brakes off any team they play in the first week of the season, but we see more upsets.
But it looks like normal football.
They're in pads, and they're wearing helmets and things like that, but I guarantee you ask one of those coaches, this is ridiculous. They are nervous about those early season games because you can fall into a trap. The Buckeyes won a national championship. They were a way better team in late October than what they were at the beginning of the year when they lost to Virginia Tech. They were a way better team. That night was sloppy, listless. That was still left over from the residual before. What were they getting? Navy the week before that. That was the Navy seat when they opened up with Navy. Navy week, the week before that is going to give you a good look because a service academy is going to play you for 60 minutes. So that game, they gave them the best look they could. But that isn't going to hold a candle to what Virginia Tech was at the time. Virginia Tech was able to get him because they came out and played sloppy football in the first month of the season.
Virginia Tech didn't look very sloppy, and they didn't have a preseason. I want to ask, 216-578-0092, I want to ask fans, are you okay with eliminating two preseason games if it eventually is going to mean 18 regular season games? Because I guess to me, I'm going to lose this argument. I'm going to lose an argument on this. I don't like the preseason games, and I also don't think we need 18 games in a regular season. I know it's going to go there anyway, and I'm going to lose the argument because fans love more football. Fans will always choose more football. In fact, when I always talk about shortening the games, shortening the college games especially, fans are like, what's wrong with more football? Anthony, what don't you like about more football? I'm just like, well, you know, I think we can move on with things. I don't know that we need 18 games to prove who are the best teams in the NFL. And in fact, I get nervous about more season-ending injuries that will happen with two more games on the schedule and then your playoffs. I think already you have significant divisions being won because of injuries. Now you add two more games onto the schedule. How many more quarterbacks are going to go down for the season with two extra games? And we know that there's nothing less watchable than NFL football with bad quarterback play. That's where it gets really bad. For all the people that say they want more football, you guys hate football. I've seen the ratings. You hate NFL football when it's backup quarterbacks. And that's been proven out over time. So to me, I don't think you need four preseason games, especially the way that these teams treat those preseason games by the fourth one. And we know the first one, they barely play their guys anyway, so it already seems like they're only committed to two real preseason games. But I also don't think we need 18 regular season games. So I'm curious what the fans think, because it sounds like you're okay with 18 regular season games.
I think I've just made peace with it. I see your point. How am I going to tell people less football is a better idea? People love football. People love the NFL. They love watching games, man.
At what point is it the law of diminishing returns?
I think.
Are you okay with 20 regular season games? You okay with 22?
I think we're getting to be about that point when you get to 18. If I'm going to be fair with you, yeah. I think we are getting to that point because I think there's going to be. I think you're just asking for more slop at the beginning of the season. If you're going to take out two preseason games, that means you're going to have less chances for guys to fill out your roster. That means you're probably going to make some poor decisions. Because I do not think that you can just evaluate based on the practices that you do. You need to have, like, there's guys who become starters who are already starters and you know they're blue chippers. But you also have guys who, they become starters, they become the guys who you rest during the preseason because they were the guys who were playing in the fourth preseason game. So you do find players there. I know that it's a bad argument because a lot of people are just bored to tears by the preseason. But I don't know any better evaluation than what you're going to find where guys in real pads hitting each other at real speed, going at real speed, vying for a job basically against each other. One guy playing for the Packers, one guy playing for the whoever's in the preseason, trying to make the other guy look bad
to make sure they get a job. What guys are we really talking about? Because I don't think the average fan cares about the 53rd guy on the roster.
But the teams do.
Sure, the teams,
football teams do.
The teams do, and if you expanded the rosters to 60, they we'd be talking about the 60th guy. I think you could still get pretty darn good football with only two preseason games. And like I said, already these teams don't treat these preseason games all that important except to evaluate the worst players on the roster. They're not evaluating Baker Mayfield on the roster. And obviously the CBA has already been geared over the last decade towards, hey, less practices, less anything, less tackling, less physical contact, because the only thing we truly care about is making sure the players are healthy from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
The only thing we don't care about the 53rd guy. What we care about is whether the quarterbacks and the receivers and the running backs and the key defensive players are healthy.
But for me, as a football team, I don't have to play Baker Mayfield if I don't want to, or Odell Beckham Jr. or any one of the other guys that you mentioned that are very important. I don't have to play Myles Garrett during the preseason, and I will sit here with you during the preseason in a couple of months going, don't play any of these guys. I don't need to see Myles Garrett in the preseason. Don't care. Don't need to see him. But I think for them, yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of a weird evaluation. There will be something where Myles is going to want to try something on for size. Gosh, he's going to have all these different moves now, according to what he said about Greg Williams, right? Right. So he's going to try that stuff out. But I think ultimately, I hear what you're saying, and I think you got a good point about the 18-game thing. There is a law of diminishing returns, but anytime you ask a fan about having more football, more NFL football, they're always going to want more NFL football.
See, I think what we love about the NFL compared to baseball and basketball and anything else,
I'm going to agree with this too,
is how significant every game is. How just life-shattering these games are. That's why sports talk radio in the fall is like a different animal.
Yep.
Because everybody wants to overreact to every single game. The more NFL games you have, I think you lose some of that specialness to it. Also, Tyler says, what about fewer preseason games, 16 regular season games, and more playoff teams? Well, I think we could be heading there anyway. I do think there's going to be more playoff teams down the road, and I don't love that either. But I understand why. The TV ratings are massive. Add another 10 playoff games. The ratings are going to be there. I think what it does is obviously marginalize more of those regular season games.
Well, I don't know what it does. Football, baseball, I've been an advocate. Add more playoff teams. Hey, add one more. I think that it changes the entire complexion of a season. What would it do if the Indians are in this situation right now? This is a non sequitur. You can bring me back if you want to. The Indians are in this spot. You're two games back. And there's a lot of people going sell, and rightfully so. Well, if there's another playoff spot there in the wild card, what do you mean? Wait, I still have a chance. And then you'd be putting the Indians' feet to the fire, or putting their feet to the fire to be able to be buyers. I don't see a scenario where adding one more playoff team to each side is a bad scenario there. With the NFL, we've already had a couple of scenarios where there's been an 8-8 or a 7-9 make it. Do you really water it down to that point? Because I think part of the allure of the NFL is exactly what you say. It's exclusive. There's only 16 games. There's only 53 guys and 46 who are active during the game on a Sunday. And then when you get to the postseason, only 12 of you make it out of 32. So you got to be special. It demands excellence out of there. Do you really want a lifestyle where, yeah, every now and then there's one 7-9? Do you really want that to happen almost every year?
I mean, you've seen...
I don't think anybody wants that.
There is some bad... We talk about the wild card round in the NFL. There's some bad football. There's some bad football teams. There's some bad quarterback play. You only have so many good quarterbacks in a league. And watching the Tennessee Titans those last few years, watching the Buffalo Bills with Tyrod Taylor, like those are the teams that are making the playoffs. And if you're going to expand the playoffs and go even more teams, imagine the quarterback play we're talking about. It gets even worse. We're talking about the Ryan Tannehills of the world making the playoffs. And is that really what you want? Yeah, you're a gambler. You're gonna watch the game. You're a football fan. You're going to gamble on it. You're going to watch the game, and the ratings will be high. But are we really all happier?
I have to say yes, because I think people are... I'm still the person who agrees with you about the college football playoff. I agree with you, I think, about 18 games. But I'm also the same guy who says, I can't believe you guys are bitching about more bowl games. I'm going to watch all these bowl games. So ultimately, while I think that you are right about the quality, I want more football, and I think a lot of other people are going to want more football too. And if there's a way that we can get two more games out of it, we can elongate the season and spend a little bit more time with football for a couple of more weeks, I think people are going to want to do that.
All right, 216-578-0092. Get your reaction on that.
20 minutes left. I got to pick up my prescription, okay?
Anyway, Roger Goodell. So 2 feet out the door.
I got medicine for my eye.
One eye out the door.
Did you go through an entire box of Kleenex yet?
Almost. I keep sneezing.
You can wait until the mics are off, too, when you...
Well, you're not going to be able to catch that.
Decide to unload your nose, though. Sneezing is one thing.
You know what, Emmanuel Marconi? Why don't you just relax over there?
I'm just saying.
I know everything you do is perfect.
You're deciding to unload every bit of fluid in your face.
No, I cover.
Have fun with that, Jeff Phelps.
No, well, it doesn't matter if you shut your mic off. There's at least one other mic on in the studio that's picking it up.
Well, I don't... Fine. And for the rest of the show, I will stop the show and sneeze, and then we can restart the show.
I'm not talking about sneezing. I'm talking about blowing your nose.
Can we do it with a drum roll, please? All right, Roger Goodell...
So blowing your nose takes even longer.
Roger Goodell, over the past 24 hours, is talking about shortening that preseason, saying... His teams
Mike's
are saying...
Off. I got to blow my nose.
Hold on, here we
Mike's
go.
Off, 3, 2, 1.
Now, let me turn my mic back on.
All right, there you go. Turn your mic back
anyway.
On. You left yours on, too.
What? What are you talking about? Kenny is in misery right now.
You
know
guys,
what?
I hope you both are in the same car.
Kenny, take tomorrow off.
I'm already taking tomorrow off, and Thursday doesn't look too promising either.
Oh, wow, he's threatening, planting the seeds already. That's good. See,
starting
this is
to
what
sound
happens.
Like another show host around here.
This is what happens.
Oh, I've been inflicted. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Ooh, Friday. Oh, that looks like a day. I can't. Folks, I'm sorry.
Well, you might as well make an extended weekend. So Roger Goodell is saying his teams do not want 4 preseason games. And they made it clear. I mean, last year you had a team go to the Super Bowl that treated the preseason like Odell Beckham Jr. treats voluntary minicamp, which is not all that important. Here's Roger Goodell at the Jim Kelly Golf Outing in Buffalo.
I've been pretty strong on our preseason. I think things evolve over the years. I'm not sure, in talking with coaches, that 4 preseason games is necessary anymore to get ready for a season. To evaluate players or develop players. There are other ways of doing that.
Potato sack races.
Other ways to do it?
They can play Tonk in the locker room and then figure out as a tournament winner. That guy gets the 53-man roster spot.
See, it is my, maybe you disagree with me, Ken. It is my estimation that NFL would look the exact same it does today. There'd be a little more sloppiness to start the year. But I don't think the season would look any different with two preseason games.
Eventually, no, it wouldn't. I don't think it would be. Well, I think some people might make a big deal about it, but no, I think you're right. There's still guys wearing NFL uniforms, still NFL football players wearing NFL uniforms. I think you're right. I just think that this is already laying the seeds. I think this is something bigger. This is laying the seeds for a possible work stoppage and negotiation coming up in 2021. That's what I think it's for. Because the players are going to want guaranteed contracts, and the NFL owners are not going to want to give it to them. And, of course, they'll want to be compensated for 18 games, and the NFL owners are going to want to try to keep it as low as they possibly can. Somebody brought up earlier, Owen brought up, should we give them an off-season wage? And an NFL owner go, I pay you how much? Even on a minimum at a 53-man roster, you get $600,000.
So if we're bringing in 18 games, now we're increasing revenue, right?
Yep.
So you take that revenue that you were going to add to contracts, and now instead of only paying during the weeks, you take some of that money. It's not a huge wage, but some of that money is now dispersed during the offseason, where these guys, unless they're getting roster bonuses or things like that,
they don't show up to stuff.
Right.
And Owen?
Well, why can't they just do what teachers do?
Owen, this is the same thing. Wait a minute. Don't teachers get paid during the summer?
Yeah,
that's a full-time employee. These teachers, are 1099.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, though. Can't you just take what you make for that year and divide it into 12 months?
Yeah, that's what, and they're going to tell you that's what your agent or your financial planner's for, not them. That's what the team.
If you want money throughout the rest of the year and not just your game check once a week for 16 weeks out of the season,
yeah,
do that. You're already making enough. I mean,
Lyman talks about clubs open in Miami. Well, I want to go down there in June. Well, I can't go down there during the football season. I can go down there in June. They want that money now. So, Kenny, this is the way these guys live. You know that. You know how these guys are.
I don't understand what giving them some kind of off-season wage actually does. All that is giving them an extra bonus. Yeah. And it doesn't matter when you give it to them.
And honestly, for a lot of the contracts are already given, say your bonus is paid in March, then you get your bonus in March, and you might have that money going over. There's different ways they can do it, but most game checks, they only get paid 17 times a year. They have the shortest season of everybody. So by week one, yeah, these guys are dying. That's why I don't take DeMaurice Smith seriously. I do not take the players' union seriously. It is a great thought and theory for a lot of fans who say, player empowerment, give them fully guaranteed contracts, make it worth their while. I go, yep, that's all a great idea until a guy actually needs to pay his bills.
All right, so let me ask you this then. What if it's either, okay, obviously shorten the preseason, either go to 18 games regular season or add to the playoffs?
What I would want to do?
Mm-hmm.
I still like more playoff football. But I don't want to let a 7-9 team win it. 7-9 team in the postseason. But more playoff football probably adds more. I would say you could charge a higher rate, even though that's part of the negotiation anyway. You could charge a higher rate for television. Plus, we are also having to factor in an 18 game regular season schedule. What are they going to do with the next TV contract? 18 games? How much more money is that? Especially,
so you're going to play into January.
And you know this because you're a TV guy. They're not going to do, eventually here soon, they're not going to be doing the CBS gets the AFC road team and Fox gets the NFC road team. They now are going to be basically having a draft, picking and choosing ESPN, Fox, CBS,
whatever. That's what they do for college football.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit different now. That means that's going to be even more money. But they're going to do everything they can to make sure the players don't get as much as – they're going to make sure they get as little as possible. And I think that everybody is right when they say that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Mm. But they are going to still spend. And if I was 22 years old, I'd probably spend like an idiot too.
Right. See, a problem I see real quick, if you expand the playoffs, then you're only increasing revenue for half the league. Whereas if you're adding – two more games to the regular season, the entire league is increasing revenue.
Well, it's so much more money. I mean, you're talking about, two more weeks of football. That's obviously 32 more games, right? I mean, yeah, it's way more than just
one
a few more
game for each franchise to host.
Yeah, everybody gets a home game, so the cities will capitalize on it. Now, you're playing football into January, which up in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and say
start
what you want.
The season earlier?
So what? Are you the season? Or, yeah. I mean, are you not playing football in August now?
Because right now you start the season on Labor Day, or usually Labor Day weekend. I think you probably go in the opposite direction and start the season a little early.
Well, they always try not to go up against the college football for the first week, okay, for whatever reason. I don't know if that's a gentleman's agreement
probably,
or what.
And I'm sure the NFL has no problem breaking that deal as soon as possible. Why do they care?
No, I don't know that they would.
Exactly.
So do you think they'd start the season earlier?
Yep.
I don't think you want to go into –
you don't want to be playing in the middle of – if the Browns are going to be good, you don't want to be playing – regular season football in the middle of January. You want to see postseason football.
Imagine what you can do as a league if you're playing on Labor Day weekend now. Because people will go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now people that live out of town will come back to town to go to your game.
Exactly.
All right, Steve in Cleveland, next up on The Fan. How are you, Steve?
Good. I agree with you guys. I think they should extend the playoffs. But when they set up the playoffs, they should do it the best teams. If you win a division and you still suck – and you're 7-9 or whatever your record, or 8-8, I don't think you should make the playoffs. Yeah, you won your division, thank you, but you're not going to make the playoffs. What do you guys think?
Well, Steve, thanks for the call.
That might be much better, Steve, honestly.
I'll tell you this.
That might be much better.
And we just had Josh on Twitter say that you got to get rid of divisions.
Well, what are divisions anymore?
I'm telling you, if you go to 18 games, I'm done with divisions. I know that we like to think of these great rivalries
divisions
we have.
I'd
rather just award the better teams.
What the NBA does
now.
The NBA does
not
care about divisions.
No. Are we or are we not more connected than we've ever been before? It's a coast-to-coast league. Top to bottom, east to west.
See, Kid's not going to like this because he's thinking there goes the rivalry of Pittsburgh.
You can still play
there
your
goes
divisions.
The Baltimore.
You can still play your divisions. But they still play their divisional games in baseball and basketball. You could still play Pittsburgh twice and Cincinnati twice and everybody else. You can do that stuff. But if it's top to bottom, I think that would be better.
Yeah, but real quick, if you play teams twice, a certain amount of teams, then the point of playing them twice is to give you a reward, I would think, of being able to be the best of those teams in a certain area. I don't think you play them. If you get rid of divisions,
you don't play them twice.
I don't think you play them twice.
Well, it's still
anymore.
A thing in the NFL to win a division. It's not a big thing. Yeah.
Then you got to rotate who gets the home game each year. You're killing rivalries.
The NBA still has divisions, though, but they don't use them for playoff seeding.
But and how many rivalries do you see in the
NBA
opposed to the Cavs
any.
And
it's
the Warriors
about playoffs,
for four years? That's it.
You are killing rivalries, but how many rivalries are real anymore? I mean, honestly.
A ton.
In the NFL?
Are you kidding?
In the NFL?
I don't think they're anywhere near what they used to be.
Maybe
I agree
not what
with
they
Anthony.
Used to be, but you can say it as many times as you want. I'll never believe it, but the Browns and Steelers is still a rivalry.
To the fans?
Browns, yeah. Browns and Ravens are a rivalry. The Packers and the Bears, rivalry. You think the Lions like the Green Bay Packers or the Chicago Bears?
Lions until 2 years ago didn't win in Green Bay since 1991. I think the Lions need to figure their own life out before they start to worry about whether or not they're going
to
deal with the Packers.
Every year doesn't fuel a rivalry, though?
Not to the players. Kenny, we've been on this station for eight years. The fans have cared way more about the Browns rivalry than any of the players did, probably until this last year.
I don't think the
Miami Dolphins don't look at the New England Patriots as a rival?
No. The players? No. I don't think the Patriots do.
I don't think the Patriots do.
I think the Miami Dolphins for the last few years.
Okay, well, stop looking at it as individual players.
But that's the way
Look at it as a team. It's a team sport. Look at it as a team, as an organization.
I feel that all those players and all those guys in that organization are caring about cashing their checks when they know that they don't have a real rivalry with the New England Patriots.
That's the truth. Ask Joe Thomas. What does Joe Thomas think about the rivalries?
I think you would probably be disappointed in Joe's answer.
Well, maybe. But I still think
if you want to jump in on this,
I personally probably got up a little quicker for a Pittsburgh game.
I used to think that
they would actually win that game more so than another game.
Well, you want to win. You want to beat those teams in your division because you get something out of it. If you beat those teams, you go to the playoffs. If you take 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 6, most likely you're going to go to the playoffs. But as far as like, do they hit harder in the Pittsburgh Browns game than they do a Cleveland game than they do in other games that the Browns play? I don't think so anymore. I think that used to be the case when they didn't make the money
I
that
agree.
They make now.
I don't think every player thinks that way. I think maybe your divas. I think maybe your top tier players that are getting paid millions upon millions of dollars that have the biggest contracts. Maybe they're the ones thinking that. But I think your average player still respects rivalries.
I think your average player is still trying to hold on to a job. I think he cares more about that.
Obviously, that as well.
I don't think he cares as much about rivalries as you think. I'm sorry. I really disagree with you there.
All right. We'll continue that discussion. 216-578-0092 in the Browns. Do not have Gerald McCoy. Our final thoughts on that and whether or not the Browns still have something to prove to be able to land those big-time free agents. That's next here on 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.